Happy Sunday. Welcome to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. And Michael Wacha is now a member of the Boston Red Sox. We're going to break down his deal just a little bit on this special Sunday episode of Locked On Red Sox. So let's just get right to it.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So Michael Wacha, the newest member of the Boston Red Sox. I'm your host, NESN's Lauren Campbell. I've been covering the Red Sox for NESN now for about 4 years, in the Boston media scene as a whole for almost seven. Born and raised in the Boston area, so love being able to talk Red Sox with you as a reporter perspective, from a fan perspective, and maybe someone who's a little bit kind of confused over the move. I like the addition of Michael Wacha. I think he'll certainly provide depth to this Red Sox rotation. However, he only made $3 million last year when he was with the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Red Sox gave him a nice pay raise, and he now will make $7 million. There's no incentives. It's just a straight $7 million contract. He spent 2021 with the Tampa Bay Rays. He went 3-5 with a 5.05 ERA. So, like I said, very underwhelming. The ERA is not good. You know, we obviously want to see that a lot lower. Chaim Bloom and Michael Wacha did not cross paths while Chaim Bloom was a member of or in the Tampa Bay Rays organization. But it's clear that Boston saw something that they really liked with Wacha. He's coming off two pretty much underwhelming seasons with the Mets and the Tampa Bay Rays. He spent seven seasons with the St. Louis Cardinals. Fun fact, he started games two and game six of the 2013 World Series against the Red Sox. And we all know how game six ended. It ended in a very happy moment for the Red Sox and their fans. They obviously won the 2013 World Series, but Wacha certainly will provide depth to this rotation. Like I said, I don't have an issue with the signing. I'm just surprised at the money figure to it. So I think in my mind, what I think happened is that there was a ton of interest in Wacha, and the Red Sox were like, no, we want him, and threw him $7 million because they knew that's what would get him to sign with the Red Sox over any other team. So I think that's what happened there. But Wacha did see an uptick in performance the final month of the 2021 season with the Rays. His ERA was 3 over six outings in the final month. He struck out 30 in 30 innings and only had 5 walks. So toward the end of the season, he was much better than overall in the entire season, which certainly is reassuring, especially coming into a rotation and pitching as a whole that has a lot of questions around it. Some good news, though, for the Red Sox about Wacha is that he's pretty good last year against the New York Yankees. He was 1-0 with a 1.66 ERA, 25 strikeouts over 5 appearances against the Yankees. That obviously could prove to be useful coming into the 2022 season, but you certainly want that kind of consistency against all of the other opponents, not just one team. Though, yes, it's the Yankees. Beating the Yankees and pitching well against the Yankees always is a good thing. However, you want Wacha to provide what he did against the Yankees against every other opponent, every fifth start, or wherever he fits into this rotation. Now, he certainly does not fill the void that Erod left behind. Obviously, Michael Wacha is not a left-handed pitcher. However, his addition certainly helps. He's a veteran. He's pitched in World Series. He's pitched for good teams. He's pitched for big teams. He knows how to pitch under pressure. Like, he's not afraid of the postseason. He's had postseason experience. So I think that he'll be a good fit. And I said it earlier, I don't have a problem with the signing. It was just surprising for me to see the Red Sox throw out $7 million to a pitcher that is mediocre, who had a mediocre season. So where exactly does Wacha fit? Well, he'll probably compete for a role at the back end of this rotation. You have Chris Sale, Nick Pivetta, Nate Eovaldi. You have those three as probably, you can probably consider those locks for the starting rotation. Tanner Houck, there's Garrett Whitlock there, and now there's Michael Wacha. So he'll probably compete for that 4 or 5 starter position during spring training, and he'll see how he adapts to a new team. a new system. So there are a lot of changes for him. However, he has played on other teams. So it's not like he is used to one specific team. He's been around. He's had, you know, the Cardinals, the Mets, the Rays. So he's been around some other teams. So hopefully the adapting to a new clubhouse won't be an issue. And I feel like the Red Sox wouldn't be afraid to use him out of the bullpen should he start the season as a starter, doesn't go that well, and then they move him to the bullpen, kind of like they did with Garrett Richards and Martin Perez last year. Hopefully it doesn't come down to that, because that's just going to signify that a $7 million reliever is, or $7 million starter is now going to be a $7 million reliever coming out of the bullpen. And I think that I don't like when starters go back and forth from the bullpen to the starting rotation. I think it messes with their rhythm, their consistency, and their ability to get into a groove here. And obviously, I'm sure it messes with their confidence in some way. So I don't think he's going to have a short leash by any means, but I don't want to see the Red Sox kind of give up on him as a starter if things don't go well right away. However, he could come in here and be one of the best pitchers on this rotation, and that's obviously what they're hoping for. And that's probably what Red Sox fans want too. This is a guy who's been around the league for a while. He has veteran experience. He has World Series experience. He's pitched against the Red Sox. He's pitched against the Yankees. He's pitched against several MLB teams. But you want him to be successful. He's not 22 anymore. He is 30 years old. So he's quote unquote old for an athlete, or getting older for an athlete. He's ready to just be part of this team. He said all the right things. And you know, it's easy to go into a press conference and say all these right things, but he was very convincing. He was very confident, very poised. I liked how he sounded. I liked what he had to say. And it was fun to kind of relive the 2013 World Series through his eyes. And he said that he loved the atmosphere of Fenway Park. He said it was bananas, and that he could just feel how loud and amazing the fans were hyping up their team in the World Series. Waka also pitched against the Red Sox in Game 2 of the ALDS in 2021 against the Rays. He only lasted two and two-thirds innings. He allowed 6 runs on 9 hits. So maybe the Red Sox, the coaching staff, the front office, maybe they were able to kind of scout Waka. They knew he was going to be a free agent coming up this year. Maybe they were able to kind of see what he was doing wrong, being able to kind of tweak his mechanics and figure out, again, what exactly what he was doing wrong. They could fix that and have him be a very productive pitcher for the 2022 season. So we'll see if he emerges as somebody that the Red Sox can bring in and experiences a resurgence in his career. You obviously want the best for Michael Waka. You hope that this signing works out, and you hope that the $7 million doesn't go to waste, because that is a lot of money for a pitcher who's coming off mediocre seasons, but he could very well be worth the risk. So we will see how the Red Sox and how this all pans out with Michael Waka. I'm excited to see. I think, like I said, I like the signing. It's just the money that pretty much concerns me the most. But I also hope that they don't think that this is going to fill the void of Erod, because it's certainly not. It's going to provide a lot of depth. I think this is a good depth move as well. But there's still a lot of questions to be answered surrounding this pitching. And while Michael Waka doesn't provide all of the answers for the pitching, he provides a little bit, but there's still a lot of work to be done here. Coming up in our second segment of Locked On Red Sox, I'm going to end this show on a positive note. This is just a quick, super special Sunday episode of Locked On Red Sox, so we will end it on a positive note, as we always do. But first, I need to tell you about Built Bar. You know that I love Built Bar. I love their flavors. They don't taste like cardboard like some of the other protein bars do. They're low calorie, they're low carb, they're low fat, they're high in protein. They have so many flavors. There's several flavors, something for everyone. It's a great option for when you're hungry. It's a great option when you're on the go, if you need something quick before or after the gym. If you are like me and don't like eating breakfast first thing in the morning, grab one for your car ride into work. It is perfect for that. And Built Bar has new surprises all month long. There's limited time flavors arriving at built.com regularly, so please go check out the website often. There is nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday weekend, so mark your calendars, because this weekend is a huge event with all sorts of surprises, and we have an offer for you. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Welcome back to the Locked On Red Sox podcast, a super special Sunday episode of Locked On Red Sox. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. So as we always do, we will end this show on a positive note. And again, we're one day closer to opening day. We're getting closer to that. And the Red Sox, my positive note here is that the Red Sox are showing signs of movement in this offseason. I think people were a little worried that maybe they would stand pat and just kind of be like, no, we're fine. We're going to work this internally. We're going to figure out our options, maybe complete a smaller trade that doesn't bring in a big name player. But they're making movement. I think, like I said, the Michael Wacha signing, I like it. I don't have a problem with it. But I think this is the sign of things to come. I don't think they're done. I don't think that they are content with their pitching. I don't think they're going to go out and get Max Scherzer, who's drawing interest from the Mets, the Angels, pretty much. I'm sure he's drawing interest from every single team. He is expected to sign by Wednesday, according to reports. It probably won't be with the Red Sox. But again, I think the Red Sox are not done. Like I said, this is showing signs of life. They're going to hopefully make some more splashes, preferably before this pending lockout could happen this week. I can't believe it's already almost here, December 1st. So hopefully the Red Sox will get something else done, add a little more depth and a little more oomph to this rotation and their bullpen. Because like I said in the first segment, there is a lot to work on still. Michael Wacha doesn't solve all of your problems. And as much as it's hard to be patient, I am the least patient person in this world. We need to be patient with this Red Sox team because I think Chaim Bloom is sitting back. I think he's got something up his sleeve. And I think he's going to make a move before this impending lockout. So I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. And it's going to be worth keeping our eye on. But that will do it for this Sunday episode of Locked On Red Sox. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at LaLaLaLauren, three laws, Lauren with four R's, and the Red Sox Twitter account at LO_Red Sox. Don't forget to check out all of the other Locked On shows across our network. Locked On A's, Locked On Yankees, Locked On Astros, Locked On Blue Jays. Everybody does an incredible job. And please join us Monday. We will break down a little bit more of this Michael Wacha deal. We'll talk about what else has gone on in the world of MLB and the signings. And we'll get to the Red Sox. They've shown interest in other players as well. Rich Hill has acknowledged that the Red Sox are interested in him. So there's still a lot to get to, a lot to break down in this offseason, and we'll do that all Monday, so be sure to circle back then. This episode was brought to you by betonline.ag. We're back, we're better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season, which means more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Have an awesome rest of your weekend. I'll see you Monday.